But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the Lord of the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading comes from Mark, the third chapter, starting at verse 20. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, "He has lost his senses." The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He's possessed by Beelzebul, and he cast out the demons by the ruler of the demons." And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you.' Answering them, he said, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we open ourselves to truth now. Well, we've been open to it. But we know, Lord, that this is where your light can really shine as your word is expounded upon. Lord, we want to be faithful in the preaching and in the hearing and in the doing of this word. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to be the one who empowers us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have been out camping? You've done some tent camping sometime throughout your life. Anybody? Who's ever spent an evening in a tent? Maybe it was a Girl Scout camp or a Boy Scout camp. I know that I spent quite a bit of time at Boy Scout camps, either on camporees or summer camps. Maybe it was a family summer change where your family just got away. Even as a child, I would create makeshift tents in our backyard and sleep out in them with my friends. And there were also plenty of times when one or all of us would say in the middle of the night, "That's enough. Let's go inside." And we'd all go back to our homes. Camping is fine, but there's no place like home. We love our homes, don't we? We invest in them. We even call them our dream home. We're way behind in these slides, I think. But last week, severe weather tore apart the hopes and the dreams that families had built so much into. In Larimer County, Colorado, the wind swirled at fantastic speeds, and people took to their basements. Those of us who live here on the East Coast don't know too much about this. But those of us who are from the Midwest, we know. This puts fear in your bones when you see this coming. Many of them, as they emerged from their basements, found that their homes were in a shambles. It caused a grown man who had put so much into his home, as many of us have, to sit brokenhearted on his front porch. Home. Home is so important to us, isn't it? The longing for home is part of the song that Paul sings for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 7, he poetically cries out, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." We have this treasure in earthen vessels. These earthen vessels of our bodies, which are pretty much like tents, that are carrying the essence of who we are. There's treasure in this vessel. But the vessel is made of material that breaks down. Just like a beautiful vase can quickly become a pile of rubble. And if we're not careful, we can very easily lose heart. Losing heart is a term that Paul uses quite often. He knew from experience how quickly human beings can slide from the mountain into the valley. Been there? You think, nothing can bother me here. And then you get a phone call. Or somebody says something to you. And all of a sudden, you find yourself sliding right down a slope. And you start to feel fear and anger. And we lose heart. But Paul says, even in the midst of losing heart, there's a way to be lifted. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body," in this earthen vessel, or the earthen vessel which we, the church, are. Fear. Fear beats on my heart. How about you? You ever get afraid? Of course. I mean, it's a natural human response. Somebody I thought was once a friend begins to show their lack of trust towards me. And oftentimes, because of my sensitivity, I can pick it up before it's ever said. I can just pick it up. This sensitivity is a blessing and a curse. We live in a user-friendly culture with an emphasis on the word user. Isn't it refreshing to have a job where you're valued for who you are and not just what you can do for the company? But many companies are not that way. User-friendly, I'll be friendly with you as long as you are useful to me. And then when your use is done, like a piece of paper, wopsed up and thrown away, take a visit to Atlantic City. Last year, when our home was burglarized, many pieces of jewelry that were given as gifts over a lifetime were taken in a few minutes on one night. We came home. We saw that something was wrong. We saw the back door broken in. We called for the police, and they searched the house and said, "There's nobody here." But as we went upstairs to our bedroom, the jewelry box was empty. And Kathy just melted into tears, and I felt that with her. We're vulnerable. In a moment, things can change. What was that thudding sound that we heard in the middle of the night? It was nothing. But when somebody has vandalized your home, fear easily rises. How can we feel safe when children are roaming the streets armed with guns? Children roaming the streets armed with guns and looking for trouble. Fear robs us of any sense of security and steadiness in our lives. And when we don't even feel safe at home, our spirits start to get sick and chaos begins to reign. All of our high-tech security systems, our electronic bugs and our beepers don't be able to seem to be able to keep it at bay. And we slowly lose heart. Your health begins to change. And you have to give up an activity that's brought you great pleasure over the years. I remember talking with Grace. Grace was a friend of mine who was now in her 80s. At that time, she had loved to travel. She'd shown me pictures of her train trip across the Canadian Rockies and how much she enjoyed it. But there she sat in her home, twisted from the pain of rheumatoid arthritis, hard to even get to her feet and to stand up straight again. It's easy to lose heart. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 that this time in the tent is not the end of the story. This tent that we, our essence is living in. It can be painful. It can be sad. It can be anger producing. It could pinch us to doubt the very best that's around us, being unable to see it because we're so stuck in the darkness, in the mire. But, says the apostle, who has been afflicted and perplexed and persecuted and struck down, he says, our inner person, our essence, is being renewed day by day. That's how we get up every morning. We have hope being supplied to our core. And it comes from without and finds a way, even underneath the fear and the anger, to take hold of our hearts again so that we do not lose heart. Been there? We all have. This momentary light affliction, Paul says, this thing that we're going through is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. An eternal weight of glory. Now that's an interesting phrase. The weight of glory, something, it's got gravity to it, that holds us. This glory holds us. And it's far beyond all comparison. It can't be found simply in the world around us. Although if we look, it's there. God infuses this weight of glory to us. The story of Lou Zamperini is told through the book Unbroken. I know I used this as an illustration probably a few months ago, but I keep going back to the picture of this story and how much it says about the human spirit and the way God made us. Unbroken gives us a taste of this hope that I'm talking about that comes after what is hardly momentary light affliction. The plane goes down for Lou and his buddies, and he's adrift on a raft in the South Pacific, fighting off thirst and sharks and despair and tussles with his buddies. Because, you know, when you're stuck on a raft and life isn't so good, well, it's easy to become disagreeable. Finally, he and his buddy that are left are rescued, if you want to call it that, by the Japanese, who subject them to months of inhumane treatment as a prisoner. And when the war is finally over, there's still a good deal of journey before he's able to leave what seems to be this endlessly temporary life that has been his during these dark days of World War II. He steps off the plane in California to be reunited with his family. They lived in a very modest home, but it was like coming home to a mansion. But that's not all. In an evangelistic crusade that took place a few years later in Los Angeles, Lou was drawn to the power that kept him afloat through all of that affliction, and he came to know Jesus Christ personally. Oh, he knew about God. He spent quite a bit of time in prayer out there on the ocean and in the camp. But now he came face to face with Jesus. And that which he knew kind of out of the fog became clear for him. This was the one who had been with him through all of this. And new life flooded into Lou. And it was brighter than it had ever been in his life. This is the vision of one who has lived their lives in the struggle of this broken world. Sometimes this broken world in which we live feels like a wilderness, doesn't it? That we're walking through a wilderness, not sure where the path is going to lead. But there is a path. And the path in the wilderness is Jesus. The path that leads us to a house that Paul says, a house which is not like the earthly tent in which we live now. It's a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This path of that is Jesus. He said, I am the way, I'm truth, I'm life. It leads to the portal where we're home. You say, and one day we'll get there. Guess what? We don't have to wait. That home is right here among us now. And Jesus, if we will trust him and put our hand in his, he says, I'll take you to that kingdom right now. You don't have to wait. This hope is for now. You can be at home with Jesus today, right here, right now. You don't have to die. you can live. Fear? Oh, yeah. But there's an antidote to fear that Paul talks about. He calls it trust, faith. Trust Jesus, this one that we hear so much about. And some of us really know. We put our trust in Jesus, and he's been the one who has buoyed us. As we sink into the valley, he lifts us again. Trust Jesus is what Paul says. He'll take us home. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our home and that you have prepared for us something better than the tent of this human existence. You've given us a house in which to live. And Lord, we pray for folks who don't know about that house yet or are afraid to get on the path, which is Christ. Lord, give them courage to not lose heart, but to cast aside the fear and to trust you. And for those of us, Lord, that for whom this is kind of old news, not new, who need to be re-energized in this, give us strength, give us vision, and plant your hope so deep that even when we feel afraid, we know exactly where to go. You are our home. Thank you for being that home in Jesus Christ. Amen.